Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the opportunity you have given us to meet here once more and to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful, Lord, for our speaker tonight and Brian Kenyon. Pray, Lord, that he have the recollection of those things he has studied and prepared. Pray, Lord, as he teaches us tonight from your holy and divine word, the Bible, that those listening will have a humble heart and open ears. Pray, Lord, that tonight someone's heart is pricked, that they will understand unequivocally about what is required of them to be saved, and to understand the great love you have showed for us through your Son, Jesus, by shedding his blood on the cross, and you proving to us that the tomb was empty upon his resurrection. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Philander. We appreciate you so very much for working with me and all those who have will participate in this program. We're so thankful tonight to have each and every person on. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're so thankful for the success of our call. And it's men like Brother Brian King who have helped us be successful. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, go ahead and open your Bible. Pay attention to things that be said and taught by our speaker tonight. And take notes now as pertaining to the saving of your precious soul. Our speaker, Brother Brian Kenyon, one of the elders and preachers for the South Florida Avenue Church of Christ there in Lakeland, Florida. We had his preacher on last night, done a great job tonight. He will be sounding his trumpet, an elder from Lakeland. If you're ever in that area, go ahead and go by the congregation. He's going to sound the trumpet tonight about holding to tradition. We really need to know about this one. Brother Kenyon, can you blow your trumpet on this matter?
Yes, sir. I will blow my proverbial trumpet on this matter. We all have traditions in life, and I was just thinking, this being January, we've come through the holiday season, we have a Super Bowl coming up and some other things in our culture that we have lots of traditions surrounding those things, whether it be Thanksgiving, dinner, whether it be visiting, whatever, we have traditions about those. Well, when it comes to religion, there are also traditions that we sometimes hold. Now, all traditions are not bad, as we shall see, at least the word tradition. But we do want to point out in the Bible that there are traditions that we must not hold to. We must get rid of them because they interfere with our relationship to God. I want to thank the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, for this truly national phone call gospel meeting. Indeed, it involves people from all over the country to point to the scriptures. But the most important thing, as was already stated, open your Bibles and search the scriptures for yourselves. We're going to look at that word tradition tonight. Then we're going to look at how tradition has gotten in the way of true religion in the past. Then we're going to look at Jesus' confrontation with tradition in Matthew 15. And then we'll end with some practical things on how to let go of tradition and to hold on to God's law. And so with that in mind, let us first discuss the word tradition. Now, the word tradition, just that term by itself, does not tell us whether something is good or evil, but we have to determine that based on how we use it. Tradition, the word tradition, just simply means that which is handed down. And so what is handed down comes from either one of two sources, either from God or from man. And so really the source of a tradition and or how it is used determines its scripturalness. If the source of a tradition is divine, if it is from God, then of course it is good and binding upon all men if it is applicable to us. For example, in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, Paul said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." And so here are some traditions that he says, that which is passed down, but notice the source. It came by our word or our epistle. Furthermore, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, Paul writes, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Now again, a tradition is something which is passed down. In this case, the tradition which he received of us, that is Paul, an apostle, and his fellow apostles. And notice the significance of this tradition in this context. Paul is beginning his instruction on withdrawing fellowship from brethren who are not faithful, who have gone back into the world or apostatized. But notice the standard. Notice there to withdraw from every brother that walketh disorderly. And notice, and that word disorderly here is a military term that means out of step. And so notice the standard of whether one is walking orderly or disorderly. Note the standard is the tradition which he received of us. And so that is a good tradition because it is passed down by God through the apostles. And we'll develop that some more in just a moment. So the source of a tradition, if a tradition source is from God, then it is good. Now, if a tradition source is human, then it may or may not be good. For example, if a human tradition is not inherently sinful and it is used to help us carry out God's will, then it is acceptable. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, when in the context here, when he uses the word expedient, he says that some things are helpful, but even those helpful things, he will not be brought under the power of those helpful things. In a similar passage, 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify. Again, we have that word expedient. And what he's saying in both of these passages is that there are some things that help us to carry out God's law. But sometimes those things that are expedient, can, if we bind them or if we are so attached to them, we will not let go, they can be a bad thing. But notice human tradition, that which is passed down, if it helps us to carry out God's word, then it is good. For example, and a practical note, in the churches of Christ all over the country, we may not meet at the same time. Some congregations meet at 10:30 for worship. Some meet at 9:30 for worship. Some have the Lord's Supper and communion and preaching in a different order. And all these things are expedient. They are traditional. They've been passed down. But they help us to carry out God's word. Now, if a tradition replaces God's word, then, of course, it becomes sinful. And we'll look at an example of that in Matthew chapter 15 in just a moment. But just want to, again, go back over this, that a tradition just simply means that which is handed down. And if it's handed down from God, as in the case of the epistles of Paul, he mentioned 2 Thessalonians 2:15, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, if it's handed down from God, it's always going to be good. If it's handed down from man, then it may be good if it helps us to carry out God's word, but it's evil if it gets in the way of God's word. Now, before we get to Matthew 15, notice an illustration of tradition in Matthew, the tradition that gets in the way of understanding God's word, and that is found, a whole bunch of them are found in Matthew chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and this is the Sermon on the Mount that we have probably heard of in our lives. It starts out with the Beatitudes in verses 3 through 10, then verses 11 through 16, the reaction. And those Beatitudes define for us what Christian character, true Christian character is. And then in verses 11 through 16, Christian character is going to stand out like a sore thumb, we might say, but it's going to be obvious, and it's going to cause a reaction. And that reaction can be a negative reaction, verses 10 through 12, of persecution, or it can be a very influential reaction of being salt, light, in a city set on a hill, verses 13 through 16. And then in verse 17 through 20, he begins to talk about his relationship to the old law. That is, he did not come to destroy that old law, but he came to fulfill it. Not one word of that old law, or of God's word for that matter, will be broken until it comes to pass. And then verse 20, he says, "For I say unto you," and verse 20 can almost be the theme statement of the whole sermon, but notice verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then he starts, and this is where tradition comes into play, tradition originating from man that gets in the way of God's word. In verses 21 through 48, he has six sections, where he starts out by saying, for example, in verse 21, "You have heard it was said by them of old time," verse 22, "but I say unto you." In verse 27, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time," verse 28, "but I say unto you." In verse 31, "it hath been said," verse 32, "but I say unto you." Verse 33, "again you have heard that it hath been said," verse 34, "but I say unto you." And then in verse 38, "you have heard that it was said," that it has been said, verse 39, "but I say unto you." Verse 43, "you have heard that it hath been said," verse 44, "but I say unto you." And when Jesus refers to what they had heard, what they heard was basically tradition. And notice what he says, for example, in verse 21, "thou shalt not kill." "You have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." Well, "thou shalt not kill," is that in the Bible? Yes, it's found in Exodus chapter 20, where he's giving the Ten Commandments. But notice what Moses said in Exodus 20 is about 1,500 years earlier than when Jesus writes this, or when Matthew writes this about Jesus. And so over those centuries of time, different traditions have built up about what Moses taught. And those traditions got them so far away from the true intent of God through Moses that they did not have a clue what that really meant. And so Jesus will go ahead, and by the way, when Jesus says in all these sections, "but I say unto you," he is not correcting Moses, he is not adding to what Moses said, but he is simply stating what God through Moses meant and said all along. But because of their tradition, they could not see it. The tradition that was handed down just blinded them to the truth of God's word. And if you go down to verse 27, "you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Does the Old Testament say thou shalt not commit adultery? Yes, it does. But what their tradition taught that it meant was not at all what God through Moses taught when it was given. And so he goes on to explain that. Verse 31, "it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." Does the Old Testament teach that? Yes, Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. But what their tradition said it taught is not what it taught. And so Jesus has to correct their tradition and tell them what God through Moses taught all along. Verse 38, "you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." Does the Bible say that in the Old Testament? Yes, it does. But again, their tradition redefined that, reapplied that. And so when Jesus, "I say unto you," he tells them again what God through Moses taught all along. But their tradition blinded them from that. Now in verse 43, "you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Is that found in the Old Testament? Well, only half of it is, "thou shalt love thy neighbor." But the other half, "hate thine enemy," is nowhere found in the Old Testament. In fact, God does not teach that. To the contrary, he says we are to love our enemies even in the Old Testament. But the point is, their tradition had taken that, "thou shalt love thy neighbor," redefined it, reapplied it, and then now included, their tradition included, "hate thine enemy." But Jesus, again, teaches what God through Moses taught all along. And so there we have tradition, an illustration of tradition. Now, that tradition comes from man, and it is evil because it keeps them from knowing God's truth. And then Matthew 15 is the prime example we want to look at. And this is some details here in Matthew 12 as to why it's wrong to hold to those traditions which get in the way of God's word. In Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say," here's their tradition, "Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And so in this scenario, as Jesus is confronted by these Pharisees and scribes, notice they ask him the question about why. Now notice why also, or actually verse 2, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat?" Now, is it a good idea to wash our hands when we eat? Of course it is. This whole COVID thing has definitely taught us that. This, of course, probably has more to do with a ceremonial cleansing or something, but it's a good idea to wash hands before we eat. But to say we're going to hell if we don't wash hands before we eat, that's binding a human tradition that God did not bind. And so Jesus responds to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Now notice there's a big difference between verse 2, transgressing the tradition of the elders, versus transgressing the commandment of God, verse 3. You see, Jesus' disciples did not violate anything God said by not washing their hands. On the contrary, the scribes and Pharisees, their tradition transgressed the commandment of God. So you see, it violated God's word. For God commanded, here's what God commanded, "Honor thy father and thy mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever says to his father." And so what they were doing, and this is common in the religious world today, human tradition will pit one commandment of God against another commandment of God. Were they to honor their father and mother? Yes. Were they to honor God with their substance? Yes. But the two do not conflict. They harmonize. It is possible to honor father and mother while at the same time honoring God with our substance. But they were saying that their honor, honoring God, you see, they were giving to the temple treasury, if you read the language here and study that in detail, but we'll save that for another lesson. But notice ye say in verse 5, God commanded, verse 4, but ye say, verse 5, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, the money and the honor that they should have given to their parents to help support them, they say we're giving it to the temple. Well, in this particular context, scribes and Pharisees are being supported by that, but in doing that, verse 6, they do not honor their father and their mother. Thus, again, verse 6, you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So they have nullified the command of God, verse 4, honor thy father and mother, by what they say, verse 5, should be done. And so not only have they transgressed the commandment of God by their tradition, verse 3, but they have made the commandment of God of none effect by their tradition, verse 6. And so you see that tradition kept them from following God. And so he says, ye hypocrites, Then he quotes from Isaiah the prophet, verse 29. Isaiah prophesied to you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. So their tradition had led them not only to transgress the commandment of God that they violated, but also to worship in vain. And so here we have tradition that keeps them. Now notice it's religious tradition because it's a gift they're giving to the temple. It's religious tradition, just like in Matthew 5, 21 through 48, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, that's religious tradition, but it originates from man. And it interferes, it keeps them, blinds them to following God. And traditions like this, they deceive us and they make us think we're following God, but we really are not. And who are we to say how God is to be followed? But that is exactly what traditions, human traditions do. God has already told us in his word how he wants to be followed, but sometimes we are more expert in tradition than we are in God's word. And that we need to put away. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, when he's speaking of his former life, he says in verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And then verse 14, and note he says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And so he was more zealous of the traditions, which he also says in the beginning of the verse, is the Jews' religion, not God's religion, but the Jews' religion. Because again, their traditions have made it so far removed from what God intended that it didn't even recognize it today, at least when Jesus was speaking these words. All right, and so how do we let go of these evil traditions, even though they're religious, even though they seem right, but how do we let go of these traditions? Well, in the first place, we need to recognize that God exists, and his word is to be our pattern for life. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, after the first temptation, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 3, 16 and 17, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the scripture, all scripture, is what we need to follow if we are to be pleasing to God. In Psalm 119, 160, the psalmist says, thy word is true from the beginning. The American Standard Version translates that, the sum of thy word is truth. All of God's word is truth, and that is must be followed. That is to be the pattern of our life. Secondly, we must recognize that following any tradition that nullifies God's word will keep us from heaven. For example, again, in verse 3, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Verse 6, thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 9, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And the commandments of men here are the traditions that were spoken of earlier. And so we must recognize that following these traditions and not God's word, because these traditions keep us from following God's word, this will keep us from heaven, which means that we will be in hell if we follow these. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so we must know, recognize that God exists and that his word is to be our pattern. We must recognize that these traditions keep us from following God. keep us out of heaven. And then thirdly, we must simply do God's word. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We must do what God's word says. Examine their tradition against God's word. And if it's one of those, you have heard it said in God's word, but God's word says differently, we must forsake that tradition and do what God says. Now, there are many traditions, religious traditions, that sound good about salvation. You know, there's several different churches all over the landscape, and many of them teach different ways to be saved. It might be, say, a sinner's prayer. It might be, make this statement. It might be a number of things. But the Bible says in order for us to be saved from sin, we have to first to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Secondly, that belief in God must cause us to repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and verse 5, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3 and 13:5, "Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." And notice in that statement there that repentance is turning away, is change of direction. We're going to follow God. And not only must we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not only must we repent of our sins, but we must confess our faith in him. Confess our faith in Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, that if we confess him before others, he will confess us before God in heaven. Notice verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, the confession here really is a way of life as it relates in Matthew 10, 32, and 33, but it does start with a verbal confession. "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," as the eunuch did, Acts 8:38. And so a confession. But that confession, based on repentance, 2 Timothy 2:19, must also lead us to be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 2:38, after they asked the apostles, after Peter preached and the other apostles preached, saying, "Save yourselves from that untoward generation," they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answered, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Notice they were to repent first and be baptized, then remission of sins. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned." And so notice there, Jesus put belief, then baptism, then salvation. But many listening today are in religions that tradition teaches you're saved, then you're baptized. But Jesus put baptism between believing and salvation. And repenting must come before forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And so these are simply what God teaches in his word, but yet many have let human tradition take that, blind them from seeing that. So let's study God's word. Remove traditions, any tradition that keeps us from obedience to God, that keep us from knowing God's will, let's remove those and follow God. And so tonight, if you see the truth of God and want to be saved, baptized into Christ, let us know, and we'll get someone to study with you as soon as possible. I appreciate your time and attention tonight, and may God bless the hearing of his word.
May God bless the preacher of his word. Thank you, Brother Kenny. We appreciate you so very much. And this is what we wanted our audience to know about. The many, many today are following traditions, what mama did, what daddy did, or what I grew up believing, and I had a cousin of mine said, I was born a Baptist and I'll die a Baptist. Well, that's a traditional way of thinking, but that's not what, no one was born a Baptist. And I grew up in a Baptist belief. Wasn't nothing according to the scripture. This is not a put down on anyone. But I'm talking about myself here. And that is that it wasn't according to the scripture what I believe. It was according to what my mom and daddy, family, friends, and those around me believed, and we traditionally followed those things. Now, when you start talking about your soul, certainly as Brother King has talked about tonight, it's about what God has said to do, not what my mama said. But it's about following the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of the Bible. And so he's talked that tonight. I don't know if you can examine yourself and see, are you following traditions? It's dangerous. You can full well, you can reject the commandment of God that you may hold on to your tradition, Mark 7:7 and the following verses. So we thank you, Brother King. You've done what we wanted you to do. And to our listening audience, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we speak the truth in love. And you want to study further. You may want to examine it for yourself or talk more to someone about this tradition. And you want to make sure you're not caught up in tradition. You want someone to study with you. Wherever you are in our listening audience, we'll make sure we'll get someone to teach you. If you want to talk to Brother King, we'll make the arrangement for you to talk to him personally. If you'd like to do that as well, all of our speakers are open to talking to those who want to know more about God and about what his word teaches about saving their soul. And so email me now at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and I'll make those arrangements for you. Or simply just get back with the person who invited you to the call, who's a member of the Church of Christ, and they will make the arrangements for the local preachers in their area and elders, and they'll be able to teach you, set up a Bible class for you, and also get you baptized. Maybe you're at the point now, you've heard enough of our messages, you want to be baptized. Go ahead and reach out to us. We'll make sure we make that happen for you as well. Now, you may want to go back and listen to Brother Kenyon. You want to listen to his message and dissect it. Go ahead and go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. On the Nationwide Gospel Meeting tab, all the sermons are there. They're recorded. They're free downloads. You can download them and listen to them in your car, put them on CDs, whatever you need to do. And study at your own leisure. Take your time, study, examine it. But you know this, you know, make sure you understand this, that the truth is always going to prevail. It's always going to prevail. You have to read it 10 times for it to be the truth. The first time you read it, it's the truth. That's right, that's right. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Father, we love you because you loved us first. Gave your only Son. He gave his life on the cross. Shed his blood and washed our sins away at baptism. That same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ. Lord, we thank you that we have the Bible, your word, scripture, that we can read, provide us instructions and righteousness, guides us. It is there for us to use, and we're trying to do that on this program, is to point everyone back to your word. And Lord, now we ask that those who are listening, we pray, Father, that they will receive with meekness your engrafted word, understanding it's able to save your souls. Thank you for Brother Kenyon. We thank you for him, Brother Kemp, that congregation there in Lakeland, Florida. We pray for their work, Lord. We pray for their congregation, their members. We pray for all they're doing to help us save precious souls. Bless them, Lord, is our prayer. We love you, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We had another great night. Wednesday night. Two more nights. Tomorrow night, Brother Blaine Orr will sound his trumpet. Elder from Branson, Missouri, about the one truth. And then following him would be the preacher from Branson, Missouri, Brother Tim Kidwell. He's going to talk about the philosophy and vain deceit. These men got to blow their trumpets tomorrow night, sounding the trumpet. And then we're excited about the month of February. We're all speaking the same thing about faith, hope, love, and salvation. We have these flyers coming out. We're working on them right now. They should be ready. We have them roll them out by Friday. Please share the flyers with others. Share our program with others. Please encourage them. It's been a great month. Elders and preachers, so good to know. We have so many sound doctrine congregations across this nation. Still have not bowed the veil. If you know your Bible, you know what I meant by that. We still got a sound group of brothers across this nation. You can go to our website now. We put the directory on there. All of our speakers and their congregations are listed. If you're traveling, you know someone looking for a sound congregation, go ahead and go to our directory, put in the name of the preacher, put in the name of the city, the state. You can sort by all those different ways, and it'll give you all the information you need. May God bless each of you for joining us. Thank you. We love you. Please join us again tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And to the visitors, thank you for allowing us to come into your home with a preacher, a man of God, with a word from the Lord. We've been sounding our trumpet this month. May God bless.